We're still studying Ashamed in Luke 9:26. There's a couple more verses. Let's go to Hebrews 2.
What verse were we at? Oh, are you talking about?
Hebrews 2.
Now, in Luke 9:26.
But we're not going there. We're going to Hebrews.
Okay.
Starting in verse 7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not under him, that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now why isn't he ashamed, and what does it mean? Both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, and for this cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Anybody know?
The same thing.
The same seed. And that's the only reason he's not ashamed to call us brethren, because we are of his nature, the true you. Now, it's critical that we understand something. Let's go to one other scripture first before we do that. Hebrews 11.
Hebrews 11.
Let's start in verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You understand what he's saying? He's saying that even Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, those that were of the promise, they understood that Israel and Jerusalem was a parable for a heavenly place. Because that, he's not ashamed to be their God. Christ is not ashamed because we are of the same nature. Now, it's we've heard me talk many times about the lies of society, and the religious lies, that God is the father of man, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of men. Now, there's been all these movements, and all the promises of God go to the seed, but everybody tries to get away that the promises go to them. And they forget one thing, that Jesus Christ is his only begotten Son. Now let's look at a few places. Let's look at John 1. This is the only reason he's not ashamed to call us brethren. What are you doing?
Oh, some came in my head.
Verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." The only begotten Son. Let's go to John 3. For God so loved the world, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Do you understand the importance of him being the only begotten Son? Otherwise, the Trinity, it makes the Trinity a lie. And everybody, it seems like everybody believes not in the Trinity, but in the quartet. All right, let's look at some more. Let's go to back to Hebrews 11.
Amazing to think of how important what's happening is to God that he initiated this. I mean, that's, he couldn't spell it out any clearer as to the ultimate terms of sacrificing your own son.
Well, we just read it in verse 16. Now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, that he had received the promise, offered, and he that received the promise offered up his only begotten Son. And the idea was Isaac was the type of Christ. And just as God offered up his only begotten son, so did Abraham offer up his only begotten son. That's why Isaac is so critical to the understanding of the mystery. Amen?
Yeah.
One more. 1 John 4. Starting in verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, we've talked about this many times. That's like a plug, three-prong plug going into a socket. And we as believers must shed every other socket, if you will, every other prong, so that there's only those three that bear witness in earth. And the three that bear witness in earth are the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Now, what does that mean? We know what the Spirit means, but what does the water and the blood mean? The water is the water of cleansing, all the offerings, touching the dead body and all the other. And the blood is the sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ. But there's no place for you in there. And he's just waiting for his people to shed the grave clothes of religion and the grave clothes so that there's only those three in us. There's nothing else. And that's why the emptiness is so critical. We don't have anything to do except empty. You can't empty unless you know the futility of man. But if you don't know the futility of man, if you don't know that you're building bricks without straw all the time, then nothing is going to take place. You're just going to bounce around you're both a failure to the world and a failure to the Spirit. All right. Let's go back to Luke. Anybody have any questions about all that?
I just have a response to it. It's like when you have your bell rung, you know, you hear something and it's just ping, and it just all falls into place. It's like, and it's when the Christ in you, let's say he hears, pristine that you just evaporate, that the fake you just isn't not there anymore. And that's when the Trinity is intact. It's the perfect.
But your mind has to be in agreement with that.
Your mind's gone. Your mind's the...
That's right. You have the mind of Christ must be there. And the only mind of Christ is total emptiness.
Who is your mind then in that phrase? Your mind, the old man mind.
There's no more two. There's only one. You got to get rid of that. Who is that? There's only one. There's no more two.
I just said that.
Okay. All right. Verse 27.
Of what book?
Luke 9. We're back to Luke. We finished 26. Now we're in 27. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God. Now, first of all, we have to look at what does a truth mean. It's a Hebrew word, alethos. It can be translated truth or truly or true. And sometimes it's translated truly, and sometimes it's translated indeed, and sometimes it's translated truth. But let's look at the biggie, John 14. Well, no, we got to do words. John is the one that does this weird thing. He translates truth as indeed or surely. Let's go to John 1. John is like the John is like the Einstein of the apostles. Go to 140, verse 40, 42. No, 147, excuse me. And this is, remember when we talked about this, he sees Nathanael. And Jesus saw, in verse 47, and Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Now he's, it's this alethos. It's translated, and he's saying an Israelite in truth, in whom there is no guile. So let's look at now John 4. In verse 42. And he's, well, that's, this is, well, let's go to 39. This is, he's still in Samaria, and he's just gone through the whole nine yards with the woman at the well. And then in 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought that he would abode, or he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed, or in truth, the Christ, the Savior of the world." So again, John translates truth, or alethos, as indeed. But the important thing is they no longer believe because what the messenger said. They believed because they have heard him ourselves. And we know that this indeed is in truth as Christ, the Savior of the world. Now these were the Samaritans, the most hated of all people by the Jews. So you're not, again, just as with me, you're not believing because of what I say. You're believing because you've heard his voice.
The word that you used, alethos, does it have an A in front of it that means not?
I don't think so. Okay, let's go to John 8, see another one. I'll look that up.
I don't think we've talked about that before, because it's hard to say what he is, but it's easier to say what he is.
Where did you say we're going to go?
John 8. This is the predicate for the Jews that believed on him wanting to kill him about 5 minutes later. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And again, that's there, it's a lethos again. Now, there is no truth outside of Jesus Christ, because everything else denigrates with time, or changes with time, place, or circumstance. You understand that? So there's anything that changes with time, place, or circumstance isn't worthy of giving any importance to. That's the lesson of Abraham. Everybody understand that perfectly?
I'm thinking he, as the father of faith, had to found that out as he traveled looking for this city, I guess, what he was doing.
No, he was looking for something. Remember, we talked a whole, we did a whole 34 things on, maybe that was in bananas, but he tested everything that he came in touch with to see if it changed it with time. And if it changed with time. And the last one he tested were the stars. Because he was one of the people that was born on the cusp between Taurus and Aries. He was born at the dawning, at the age of Aries. And 2,000 years later, Christ was born at the dawning of the age of Pisces. The end will come at the age of Aquarius. No. And we are, the age of Aquarius is hard to define because it's not a clear picture in the stars. It's the water is of the water pair from Aquarius and is going over the fishes.
You know I'm an Aquarius.
No, you're not. That's only, this only has something to do with Christ. It has nothing to do with you. Don't start that astrological bullshit with me.
Like Burnett in the History Channel.
Oh, God. All right. Now the final, the coup de grace is John 14. Everybody there? And verse 4, and whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. And of course, Thomas pipes up. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he is the way. He doesn't teach you the way. He is the truth. He doesn't show you the truth. He is the life. He doesn't give you life. But the problem is that we've made that no man cometh to Jesus, I mean to the Father, but by him as a moral option. It's not. Any person of any religion, if they come to the end of themselves, then he is the way for them, whether they know him as the way or not. This isn't a moral option that depends on what your words are. This is cosmic. Understand that? That's a good place to stop. There be some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. It blew everybody's mind. It still does. All right, any thoughts about anything we studied? Just as bad, it's the same as for us.
It is, exactly.
He spent from the time that he was began his Son of Man understanding, there was a dawning awareness of who he was. Every time they went up to the feast, they were reading the 3-year cycle, so by the time he was 30 years old, they'd gone through the 3-year cycle a bunch of times. And every time they went through the 3-year cycle, there was more and more of an understanding and less of a concern for anything in the world. We don't know what he did because there's nothing written about him. But he had to come to the end of his mind as Son of Man in order that he could have been baptized. But just think of when you read the Psalms. They're written by the Spirit of Christ in David and the other writers for Christ as he walked the earth, and now for the prayers of Christ in you. And again, you've got to get rid of the two of you. In the same way Christ got rid of the two of him, the Son of Man and Son of God. The Son of Man symbolically died at his burial, at baptism. He was buried so that he could, in fact, empty himself, so that he could be the mind of Christ in us. All we have to do is empty. All we have to do is be having some modicum of integrity to stop our little video games in our mind, thinking that we're going to do something. Because all you have to do is, you know, that snide remark I always make, how's that worked out for you? Well, but you still do it. You still go back to the refrigerator for sour milk. Oh, I got a good idea this time. This time it's going to work. Well, you've done it 100,000 times in the past. It's never worked. Oh, but there was this guy. And he went out and he found, or blah, 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 blah. He went spelunking.
Found the treasure.
Anyway, there's no there for any of you, in any way. Oh no, God wants you to be a hero. No. He wants you to be a champion. No. He wants you to see the true nature of man. It's empty and vain as a puff of smoke. Everything about you. But you, and it's worse than that because you invented the puff of smoke. Amen? Take it, big guy.